It is about food and nutrition. It's about the business of farming, and it's about what many call food stamps. The next massive agriculture bill is now in play. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Today in Pennsylvania, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue will lay out the Trump administration's priorities for agriculture spending in the U.S. The shorthand is the Farm Bill and is up for reauthorization by Congress later this year, Marketplace's Ryan Kyloth reports.
One wish that never came true for Tom Vilsack when he was Ag Secretary under President Obama, that we stop calling it a Farm Bill.
The problem with calling it a Farm Bill is people think it's only involving farmers, but it impacts and affects every single American.
The Agricultural Act, as it's officially known, touches food, energy, infrastructure. But Vilsack predicts the big fight this year will be over Supplemental Nutrition Assistance, or SNAP, which will make up a projected 80% of spending in the current Farm Bill. One expected proposal is to impose work requirements on beneficiaries, although
80% of SNAP recipients are already either senior citizens, a person with a disability, or folks who are actually in the workforce.
There are often calls to tighten the nutrition guidelines, for example, banning sugary soda from SNAP eligibility. But, says Jim Weil of the Food Research and Action Center,
the evidence that SNAP recipients have diets that are different from other people is minuscule.
He says cutting the program runs the risk of harming health, reducing student achievement, and increasing poverty. In New York, I'm Ryan Kyloth for Marketplace.
Now, there is news. The railroad freight company CSX will now require its chief executive officers to get an annual physical exam. This comes after the death of the company's CEO, Hunter Harrison, last year, 2 days after taking medical leave for an undisclosed illness. At CSX going forward, future CEO physicals will be reviewed by the board. For more on this, I'm joined by Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington. Kimberly, what do we know about this policy shift at CSX?
So I've had a look at the letter that CSX is sending the Securities and Exchange Commission. This move is in response to a shareholder proposal following Harrison's death. He was 73 years old and only about 9 months into a big shakeup of the company when he died, and there were reportedly concerns about his health within the company. And the Wall Street Journal reports Harrison refused to give CSX's board access to his medical records.
But a board can do this. I mean, this is deeply private information at some level.
It's not very common from what I've heard from a couple of experts, but they can ask for it, sure. But what they can do with that information, that's a lot harder to say. One of the jobs of a board is to plan for CEO succession and make sure a company runs smoothly and the health of a CEO is relevant to that. But here's the issue, as summed up by Marcia Narine Weldon. She's a law professor at the University of Miami.
I think it's a gray area because let's say you give the information. You give the information about a diagnosis of cancer or Parkinson's. Then what does that mean? Does that mean that you have to then report to the board every 3 months with, here's my certificate of good health? At some point, there will be a huge erosion of privacy.
There's also federal, state, and local regulations that come into play regarding medical privacy and discrimination that a board would have to consider.
I know there are echoes with the president of the United States who just got his physical the other day, but it's a personal health issue, but also corporate policy that investors would watch closely, I guess.
Right, because there are several big companies where the CEOs are almost like rock stars to the market. So when they get sick or die, unfortunately, it makes investors worried about the future of the companies they led. Think Steve Jobs at Apple, Oscar Munoz at United. And in the case of CSX, the company's stock dropped sharply when Harrison died.
All right, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington, thank you. Throughout 2018 here, Marketplace is exploring how the financial crisis changed America over the past 10 years. Our project is called Divided Decade. For many, if not most of us, the way we financed business and our lives will never be the same. This year, we'll also be hearing from people about what changed personally for them, spending habits, outlooks on life. Today, let's listen to Nikki Jackson from Waldorf, Maryland.
We bought a home back in 2005. That was my first home. My father and I actually bought one together, and it was a loan where they would, I guess, it was due to either increase at a certain time, but they always told us, well, it's okay. You guys can refinance one day. And we found out sooner or later that that wasn't the case, and our loan went from maybe $2,000 to $2,785 a month. we ended up losing our home, and that put a great strain on our family. That was the American dream, to have my own home, move my family out into the country setting, but we lost everything. Within 4 years, it was all gone. That dream turned into a nightmare. This has made us very conscientious about things that we, you know, we purchase, and teaching our children. The kids are watching us. So which we try to be careful. We give them a budget of, okay, you're going to the barbershop. Okay, you're going to a basketball game. You might be able to go to two as opposed to going every day, because it's like $5 a game for each kid. And then we tell them, I'm sorry, you can't get those shoes. I mean, they see it now. I mean, my son went from buying Jordans to Vans. We try to explain to them that there's a lot of things that happened in the past that people are still paying for now, and that's why we want them to be very selective and careful in whatever they do, because what you do today is going to affect you the rest of your life. So I probably would be very careful if I were to ever buy a home again. I'd be more careful about who's going to have my loan. I probably would do something with even a credit union-like setting, something smaller, because I feel like the big base companies, they don't really care about, you know, us middle-class people. I think it's all about the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
There are photos of Nikki Jackson on Instagram at MarketplaceAPM, where you can also tell us how the financial crisis changed you. Hashtag HowWeChanged. Some powerful stories have already come in. Keywords, divided decade. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.